Welcome to a Sunday morning sermon from Paul Creek Ministries. We are delighted you chose to be part of this ministry and that you enjoy these messages week by week. We want them to change your life. I'm speaking this morning on the straight gate to heaven. The straight gate to heaven. Could we just worship a little bit before we go to that message? Let's go and join our church congregation as we sing together congregational style. You just worship God. We are singing for His glory and for His honor. Hey, I don't sing very good. You hear me breaking in there, and I'm sorry. But I love to sing the old hymns. I love to sing a Southern gospel. I love to sing beautiful Bible-centered courses. I just really like anything that lifts up and honors the Lord and brings glory to His name, and I know you do too. It's nothing like serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lily of the Valley, the bright and morning star. Let's just break back in here and join some music and be blessed. That's why we're here together, is to be blessed and to draw close to the King of Kings. Let's pray together. Father, we just come to your presence with worship and joy and praise. You have been good to us. You have blessed us. We have so many blessings beyond anything we are worthy of, Lord. And we love just praising your name. We love worshiping you and exalting you and honoring you. And our hope is in you, Lord. I pray for our audience all across radio land. Let the strength of God be upon your people. Draw us near the cross and let us drink from the fountain that never runs dry, Lord. That's what we want to do. Bless everybody listening. May this sermon today grip their heart and move their life. And may they with joy seek you afresh and magnify you with all of their heart. I pray for that, Father, in Jesus' name.
My spirit.
I tell you, there's nothing like the blood of Jesus, the mighty power of grace and power and mercy. He cares about you. That was the youth choir singing there. How about that? I mean, our youth choir is coming right along. A young man got saved in camp meeting. He's now a part of this group, and I'm just excited about what God's going to do with them. He is going to use them for His glory. God never fails. When we trust Him, and we obey Him, and we do His will, He will bless us. Now, I want you to remember Open Bible Dialogue Saturday. I've started a new series. It's a breathtaking series. I don't want you to miss it. It's extremely important. It really is. On the 7 years of the Great Tribulation. 7 years of the Great Tribulation. It will bless you. It will affect your life. You will be glad that you got into the middle of it and studied it with me. It will get you ready to know what's about to happen in this crazy world of ours. So get ready for Open Bible Dialogue this Saturday, 1 p.m. on Saturday, Eastern Standard Time, anywhere in the world, right on the Internet. You can hear it. If you miss it during the time of the live broadcast, you can get it archived 24/7, day and night, for weeks to come. You can go whenever it's convenient for you and hear the broadcast. The 7 years of the Great Tribulation. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming, and I can hardly wait. Jesus is coming, and I can hardly wait. To the sanctuary, to hear the Word of God, get your Bible open. Let's study the book.
Chapter 13, verse 24. Listen now carefully. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and have shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence. And thou hast taught in our streets. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, and have been taught, you have taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. They shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Now that's a text that is just absolutely a breathtaking scripture. And it gives us a picture of a future scene, a future drama. When the king comes, when Jesus comes, and suddenly people are outside the door of the kingdom, outside the gate of heaven, and they're screaming, they're crying out, but let us in. We know you. We've heard you preach. You've been in our streets. And they have this big argument. And the Lord says, but I know you not. I know not whence you are. Then he said, they will literally be weeping and gnashing their teeth while they watch Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets. And they're entering into the kingdom, and they are not able to enter in. I've never noticed that before, but that's an actual description of a future drama that's going to happen when Jesus comes. It actually shows how that this is going to be an open scene, an open world event, and those who are able to enter in are going to be able to enter in, and those who are not able to enter in are going to be thrust out. And there's going to be gloom and sadness and sorrow and just literal hysteria. I think that's the only way you can say it. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hysteria, because people who played games with God did not know and did not remember, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. You may be seated. May God help me preach this morning as I try my best to preach to you the best of my ability. Now, I'm giving you the best I got. Now, I want you to hear it. The straight gate to heaven. The straight gate to heaven. If you can get this message. You see, we live in a day when straight don't mean straight to people. We live in a day when narrow don't mean narrow to people. We live in a day when justice is a forgotten word. We live in a day when many of the Bible terms that we have preached through the years are no longer current and understandable with the populace of the people. They don't know what you mean when you say, are you saved? They don't even know what you mean when you say, are you born again? They don't understand straight, narrow. They don't understand it. We live in a day when the whole idea of a straight gate to heaven has been lost. And people do not grasp it. Well, I want to resurrect the word straight this morning. I want to resurrect the word straight. Would you say the word with me? Everybody didn't say it. Come on, straight. What do we mean by straight? We mean narrow. Not just straight like an arrow, but narrow. There's little margin on the sides. There's little room for maneuver in the process. There's little room for change in the road to heaven. It's a straight gate. And the Bible has given that gate for us. Now, I just have been overwhelmed by thinking of this drama where this multitude of church people, people where He's preached, people that know His name, people that know His Bible, people that know the things about the kingdom, and here they are at the time of the entering in. The time of the judging of the religious and the church. And the multitude. These are religious people. These are religious people. These are not the wicked, the ungodly, the sinner, the horribly wicked, debauched. These are church people. And they're watching the kingdom unfold. They're watching the time of the coming of the Lord as it occurs. They're watching the process of the separating. They're watching the process of the going in and those who cannot go in. And they're gnashing their teeth and they're screaming and they're saying, but we know you. But He says, I don't know you. Yeah, you know me. You know my name. You heard me preached often. You sit in church and heard me talked about and you were in many invitations to surrender. But you never made that choice. Oh, it's kind of overwhelming to me. Overwhelming to me. But it's very clear. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. I want you this morning to get in your thoughts, in your mind, in your own grasp, a desire to find the straight way. A desire to discover the fullness of the straight way and to give yourself unreservedly to that straight way. Every day of my life, I seek the grace of God. Every day of my life, I think of His coming and the glorious day of this great event. I think I do it every day. I certainly try, and I believe I do. I guess I could miss a day. But I want to tell you, this straight way, this straight gate, is not to be tampered with. It's not to be altered. But that's happening today, and it's happening in many, many places. They have eaten and they have drunk with Him. They have been in His presence. They saw Him in their streets. They saw Him walk the roads in front of their houses. They heard the gospel preacher. They heard the missionary. They heard the person who had met the Lord tell of His wonderful favor. But somehow, they never entered the straight gate. You can sit right here in this church and never enter the straight gate. You can sing in the choir and never enter the straight gate. You can be as religious as it's possible to be, But never make that surrender of your will, of your own heart, where you give up your own thinking, your own life. Let me take you back for a moment to Matthew 7 and 13. The words of Jesus. The words of Jesus. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Now listen to these last words. And few there be that find it. Oh God, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of our people. Oh, that God would get a hold of me, Joseph Chambers. I prayed just this morning, God, don't let me just weep out of the burden of my heart for those who are dear to me, of those who I love more than I love my right and my left hand. Don't let me just weep in the physical, in the flesh, out of the passion that I feel for those whom I love. But Father, make me a weeper for souls that knows no boundary. A weeper for people that are not just a narrow group that I care about. But give me a burden for a world that's going to hell at neck-break speed. Oh God, how many would like to weep with me for souls? Would you lift up a hand? Just raise it up high and hold it a minute. You would like to weep for souls. You would like to weep for souls. Would you really? Are you willing to pray? Holy Ghost, get a hold of me. Until the Holy Ghost can weep in me. Not just Joe Chambers weeping for that which is dear to him. But the Holy Ghost weeping for that which is dear to God. And dear to the Holy Ghost and the Master, the Savior. Oh God, help me. Because it's a narrow way. It's a very narrow way. And few there be that find it. I've studied hell lately. I've stayed in the subject for several weeks. I've wrote some things about it. I've read some things about it. I'm reading a book that Brother Jim ordered for me. 23 minutes in hell. 23 minutes in hell. I don't believe he went to hell and came back. But I believe he had a vision that was so real he thought he'd been there. Because I'm telling you, if you ever have a vision of hell that's really real, and God gives it to you, it's going to be just like you're there. And you're going to tremble. And you're going to be shattered. If you could get a feel of hell this morning, you'd leave this building with a trembling heart. Brother Ken wrote me a little note yesterday during the broadcast and said if a person could get a vision of hell, they would call the carpet to get to the altar. And I like that, Brother Ken. Call the carpet to get to the altar to get right with God. Straight is the gate. You're not going to heaven and miss hell because you've got a little religion. You're not going to go to heaven and miss hell because you show up casually for church occasionally. You're not going to go to heaven and miss hell because you have a little feeling about Christianity. And you come occasionally, and you give a little, and you're just kindly nebulous. No. Straight is the gate. Turn to somebody beside you and help me preach. And just say to them, maybe you have to turn behind you. Straight is the gate, would you? Turn, Brother Beasley, and tell those folks behind you, straight is the gate. Straight is the gate. I said, straight is the gate. Do you understand? Straight is the gate. Are you telling somebody? Straight is the gate. Straight is the gate. I said straight is the gate. You're not hearing me. Straight is the gate. Straight is the gate. It's a narrow way. Now, let's go a little further in this sermon this morning. I really, really, really want you to get what I'm trying to say. We live in a day when religion and Christianity has become very, very thin and very light. We live in a day when there is a very little understanding of what it really means to be an old-fashioned Christian. I mean, that's just not much understanding. And you ask anybody, it doesn't matter if they hadn't been to church in a year or 2 years, and they live for the world, and they dress completely oblivious to any moral value. And you ask them about church and Christ, and they'll say immediately, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I get it all the time. I've got where I look at people and say, no, I don't think you are. I think you don't understand what being a Christian is. I think you don't understand. And I'll be kind and I'll be gentle. But I'm doing my best to warn people that it's not a game to play. It's not something to take casually. One man said to me a few days ago, he said, I guess I'm just like most people. I'm just taking my chance. Can you imagine taking your chance to miss hell? Can you imagine taking your chance to miss hell? All right, go with me to Galatians. Galatians, one of the great books of the New Testament. In this book, Apostle Paul deals with grace. G-R-A-C-E. Grace. He deals with grace in a beautiful fashion. And it shows the distinction between the bondage of the law in the Old Testament and the grace of God in the New Testament. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that distinction. The bondage of the law in the Old Testament was a heavy burden. And those who carried it with a great sense of duty and responsibility. And it was painful. It was heavy. But they had to bear it because the bondage of the law was the only method by which they could be converted, by which they could serve God. But Paul paints us a picture of the grace of God. Go to Galatians 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now you got to hear that because that's important. A man is not justified because he lives right. A man is not justified because he's in church this morning. A man is not justified because he does religious duties. A man is not justified because he keeps the Ten Commandments. Do you understand that? Knowing this, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not putting down the law. I'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to hear me. You can live a good life. You can say, I got to miss hell. And I'm going to be a good boy. I got to miss hell. I'm going to be a good girl. I'm going to do what's right. Paul says, that won't save you. All the keeping of the law, all the doing of the church commandments, all the living of the standard of this church, all the effort to dress holy, to talk holy, and to go only to holy places. That's good. But that won't save you. You've got to be saved by faith in the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And Paul is trying to make that very plain. And those people you need to make this plain to. They think because they are good church members, or they are good neighbors, are they good citizens? Are they are good in their job where they work? They go to work on time. They're faithful. They pay their debts. They think all of this morality is getting them ready to go to heaven. Well, Paul says that's not right. The grace of God alone can save you. The grace of God alone can save you. Now, if you don't be careful, you'll miss what I'm saying. You'll think, oh, Brother Chambers don't know just how devoted I am. He don't know just how faithful I do my things. He don't know just how clean I live. That's true. But none of that will save you if you don't come to Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, and make a personal surrender of yourself to Him. And take up your cross and follow Him. You've got to come to Christ. You've got to trust Him with all of your heart. You've got to believe that by His shed blood, He washes away your sins. Are you getting the message? Keeping the law is good. Keeping the commandments of God is good. Going to church faithfully is good. Paying your tithes is a Christian duty. But all of that will not save you if you've not trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Now I want to go a little further. I got saved 59 years ago, this past March. Long time. Won't be long. 60 years a Christian. The grace of God came in. I mean, I was so radically a sinner. But I was so radically changed. The grace of God reached inside and turned my whole life around. I mean, turned me a different direction. Changed the way I dressed. Changed the way I did things. Everything about my life, He made it different. He made it different. Because the grace of God is a mighty power to save. It reaches inside and makes a new person out of you. But that grace of 59 plus years ago does not handle my needs this week. This week, I've had to reach up and get a hold of Christ and say, Jesus, I'm trusting You to make me clean. I'm trusting You to keep me in the way of righteousness. I'm trusting You to make me pure and holy. Lord, I'm not trusting my keeping of the Ten Commandments to make me pure. I'm trusting the grace of God to make me pure. Now, are you understanding? How many would raise a hand? Raise it high. Everybody in the building who's a Christian. And you would say out loud with me, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm trusting the grace of God to make me pure right now. Right now. Not 10 years ago, not during camp meeting, Brother Justin, but the grace of God makes me pure today. The reason I can overcome sin is because the grace of God is working in me right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Chambers, I get into situations and I can't overcome. You let the grace of God be with you in that situation. And then you can overcome. Are you understanding? Are you understanding? So, we must know that the grace of God in the New Testament is the way to serve Him. We don't serve Him by keeping laws and keeping church rules and keeping church standards. We don't serve Him because we do what the preacher wants us to do. We serve Him because the grace of God has changed our life. Are you with me? How many of you, the grace of God has changed your life? The grace of God has made a new creature out of you. The grace of God has made you a totally new person. Raise your hand up high. Let me see if you mean that. We're saved by the grace of God. Don't ever think you can do it yourself. Now, here's a problem in America. Those who say, I'm saved by the grace of God, then start treating the commandments of God as though they're nullified. That they've been eliminated. That we don't have to live clean any longer because the grace of God has saved us. And the more we sin, the more the grace of God can enable us to be pure. And so I have people writing me emails and saying, you know I shouldn't do something I do. But if I quit doing it, then I'm adding works to my faith. and I'm nullifying the grace of God, and my effort to be good makes the grace of God of none effect. And I say, you're crazy. The grace of God doesn't allow you to do evil because you're covered by the grace of God. You are saying you can't live right, because if you do, and you add that to the grace of God, you nullify the grace of God. What are you talking about, man? That's something wrong with that, isn't it? You know it is, don't you? So, we are saved by the grace of God. But that doesn't mean we're free to break the commandments. We're free to break the laws of God. Now let's go to another chapter. Another book. The book of James. Oh, this is beautiful. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 21. I want you to hear this. This is so important. See, now listen, everybody look at me. It's a straight gate. It's a straight path. If you don't take up your cross and follow Him, you cannot be His disciple. Few there be that go in thereat. Brother Chambers, what are you preaching? I'm telling you what the Bible says. And I'm telling you that the bondage of sin in the Old Testament was a heavy load. And Jesus came to break the bondage of the law and the bondage of sin and to set men free. So I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. But now that grace has taken a new flavor. That grace has taken a beautiful turn in my life. And I find it in the book of James chapter 1 verse 25. And whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. I used to be under the law of bondage. I used to be under the law of the Old Testament. But I came to Christ. He saved me. Now, I've changed the law of bondage for the law of liberty. Everybody, would you say law of liberty? I only heard Brother Marlin and maybe another little whisper. Law of liberty? What is the law of liberty? Something has happened to me. Are you listening? Something has happened to me. God, by grace, has come into my life. He broke the law of bondage, but He established the law of liberty, the law of freedom, the law of liberty. Hallelujah. Now, He has set me free from sin and His power, and I live better than I could have lived in the Old Testament. But my living it is not just keeping laws. It's living what has happened inside of me. A new system has taken over my life. Now I'm under the law of liberty. Let's go back to verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all superfluity, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty... I'm trying to get you to look into the perfect law of liberty this morning. Jesus has come to set you free from the law of bondage and the law of sin and the law of degradation and the law of evil living. He's come to set you free from the carnal appetites that ruled you when you walked in your own ways. He's come to change the way you talk. He's come to change the way you dress. He's come to change the places you go. He's come to change everything about you. He's come to give you a new heart, a new desire, a new appetite, a new interest. He's come to turn you upside down, wrong side right. He's come to make you His vessel. And He put inside of you a law of liberty. I don't lie anymore because the liar has gone out of me. He's not here any longer. I don't do the things of the world anymore because I gave up the world 59 years ago and I don't want it. I don't drink and I don't curse and I don't swear and I don't fornicate because the fornicator is gone. He doesn't live here any longer. Hallelujah. I have a new law. It's a law of liberty. I am liberated. I am free. Hallelujah. I have liberty to do right. I have liberty to live clean. I have liberty to walk holy. Whoa! Somebody is just listening to me. But I hope you're changing. How many have the law of liberty written upon your heart this morning? You've been made a new creature in Jesus Christ. You have taken up your cross and you're ready to follow Jesus all the way to heaven. It's a straight gate. It's a straight gate. You can't get in by keeping the law, but you can get in by being changed so that the law keeps you. The difference is in me keeping the law and the law keeping me. He didn't cover my sins. He cleansed me from my sins. You see, the bondage of the law was a covering for sin. The sinner wasn't changed. He was covered temporarily until the next time to give an offering to cover sins again. Every year he had to go back to the temple and offer another sacrifice for his sins because they were renewed and remembered again once a year. But not so in the law of liberty. Not so in the law of liberty. I've been cleansed forever. Now I can go back and change that, but only because I will to change it. The devil can't do it against me. And the devil can't make me do it. I've been set free from the law of bondage, but I've been enabled with the law of liberty. So now I live pure because the pure liver lives inside of Joseph Chambers. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to be shouting happy. Somebody ought to be proud this morning. The most wonderful life in the world is a pure life. Can you imagine how a harlot feels when she tries to go to sleep at night? Can you imagine how a murderer feels when he tries to rest his head and tries to keep his eyes in the right direction? Can you imagine how it feels like to be a curser, a swearer? Can you imagine how it feels to talk dirty language and tell lies? Can you imagine all of that? I see people live in that life and you can look at their face and there's a brokenness. There's a brokenness that just covers their face. It's a dark way to live. It's a dark way to live. But Jesus has come, and the grace of God has come to make you free. I don't care what your bondage is this morning. I don't care what you're wrestling with that you can't give up. You say, I can never quit my cigarettes. You say, I can never quit my trusting in myself. You say, I can never really be a Christian like you people preach here at this church. You are not understanding the grace of God. The grace of God will so change you until you become a new creature. You are turned inside right. You're changed to be like Him. He makes you His property. He makes you His son and His daughter. He joins you to His family of children. His family of sons and daughters. He changes you to make you a son, a rightful son, with every ounce of the heritage of a son that the Bible promises you. It's now yours. You're not an orphan. You're not adopted, somehow far away, far afield person. You're brought into the family and made a son and made a daughter. He has no grandchildren. Everybody is firstborn. He wants to make you His. He wants you to be His. And He will put a law of liberty in you that liberates you to do right, to live clean. You're not adding works to your salvation when you quit defiling the Lord's day. You see, the Lord's day is a special day. It's not a day to buy and sell. I'm sure there's people here who buy and sell on Sunday. Well, the Bible condemns it thoroughly. It should not be part of your life. And He'll put the law of liberty in you, and you'll find delight in keeping the Sabbath day holy. You'll find delight in being a godly person. You'll find delight in living a pure and clean life. Amen. Do you get the message? We're not under bondage. We have liberty. Hallelujah. I hope I've communicated to you this morning. I hope you'll take this message home. And if you don't understand something I've said, please come and deal with me about it. And let's make sure we understand. But we are not under bondage. We don't just keep the commandments. We don't just be good. We don't just do right. We've been changed by the power of the grace of God. We're new creatures in Christ. If you're a new creature, please stand up with me, will you? You're a new creature in Christ. You belong to Him. He's your master and you're His servant. You're not serving Him because you're scared not to. You're serving Him because you find joy in keeping His commandments. That's what I'm trying to say. I hope I communicated this. A straight gate to heaven. Remember that scene at the beginning of my sermon. Here's this great drama. And here's the master. And here's an open gate into the city. And here's a great company of people. And some are going in. And some are being turned away. And those being turned away, the Bible said, they are gnashing their teeth. They're gnashing their teeth. They are in hysteria. Oh no, don't turn me away. No, I got to go in. No, there's a hell for me to escape. But He looks at you and says, I don't know you. You know about me, but I don't know about you. And He turns you away. Can you imagine? Anybody here that could even anticipate that possibility and how horrible it would be. And you, let me tell you now, you've got to quit just talking about being a Christian. You've got to quit just claiming that you're Christian. You got to get on this straight way. You got to get in the middle of this grace of God. You got to make sure you are following Him in utter obedience and surrender. I'm His. Sing for me, Brother Jim.
I am free, free, free. I am free.
Oh, I like that.
Jesus broke the chains of bondage. I am free.
Sing it.
Life has meaning now for me. I've been given liberty through the blood.
Hallelujah.
Say it. Free, free, free.
I am free. The law of liberty has set me free.
I am free.
How about some help for Brother G?
Now for me, I've been given liberty.
And through the blood of Calvary, I am living. I am free. I am free, 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 I am free. Not through the blood of Calvary, I am free.
Life has meaning now for me.
How about throw your hand up if you've been made free?
I've been given liberty.
Hallelujah.
Through the blood of Calvary, I am living, I am free.
Hallelujah.
I am free. Free, free, I am free. Jesus broke the chains that bound me. I am free. Life has meaning out for me. I've been given liberty through the blood of Calvary. I am living, I am free. I am free, free, free.
Somebody praise Him with all your heart. Are you free?
Me. I am free.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Life has meaning now for me. I've been given liberty.
Hallelujah.
Through the blood of Calvary, I am living, I am free.
Before they sing that again, I like that. Wow. That's almost better than my sermon. Hallelujah. I've been set free. I don't want this world. I don't want to miss church. How many can say that with me? Hallelujah. You mean that? Then you'll be here tonight. Hallelujah. You mean that? See, we say these things. Don't let me be mean, Lord. Don't let me be mean, Lord. But the church world is full of people who say these things, but they don't do anything about it. Now, am I right or wrong? Somebody help me know if I'm right or wrong. We talk about being totally His. And some people in God's church are so far from being totally His, there isn't even any connection. Now sing it. Let's everybody sing it. Would you come to the altar? Let's gather here to pray.
I am free, free, free. I am free.
Jesus.
Jesus broke the chains about me. I am free. Life is now for me. I've been given liberty through the blood of Calvary. I am living, I am free.
Up now.
Life has been
praise, sing
now
it.
For me.
Hallelujah.
I've been given liberty through the blood of Calvary. I am living. I am free.
I am free. I am free. I'm
I
free.
Am free. So free. I am free.
Yes, hallelujah. I am hallelujah.
Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Life has meaning now for me. I've been given liberty. I am living. I am free.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I am free. I am saved.
Hallelujah.
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 Life has meaning now for me. I've been given liberty
through the blood.
Through the blood.